And my understanding is that any money that is given to the State Pipeline Coordinator's Office for pre-application work, the state would keep that money if the application is not ultimately granted.
Representative Lancaster?
Mr. Chairman, I assume the industry's bought into applicable charges we're talking about in this bill.
Through the chair, Representative Lancaster, yes, as a matter of fact, this is a practice that has already occurred where certain right-of-way lessees, prospective lessees, have voluntarily agreed to pay pre-application costs, and the department accepted those costs and did the work. So it's a process that the industry would like to see as well, because it helps to facilitate the process. And it lessens the burden from the state as well.
Representative Whitaker?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To either yourself or Mr. Britt, existing gas line leases are in place. Am I correct?
Yes, to the chair, Representative Whitaker, yes, that's correct.
And those are?
Existing gas line, the pipeline leases where this type of activity has already occurred, where the pre-application costs have been paid. Is that your question, Representative Whitaker?
My question is, are there not existing permits and leases in place already? And the two that I'm, of course, thinking of are those associated with it's changed hands, the old Northwest, now the current, who has that, Foothills routing. Are there not already state leases associated with that? And then, of course, Yukon Pacific's permit regime and leases associated with that. Are we talking about something in addition to those?
Through the chair, Representative Whitaker, I would defer that question to Mr. Britt to speak on the specifics of where those, the status of those applications. You're right, those applications are in, but what the status is right now, I'm not sure.
Good dodge on your part. Yes, I'd like to hear what Mr. Britt has to say about that.
Yes, through the chair, Representative Whitaker, I apologize. I think I'm getting about every third word of the discussion on your end, but I believe I understand the question. The pre-application agreements that we have entered into in the past that have been related to essentially all of the oil and gas lines on the North Slope in recent times, i.e. in the last 5, 6, 7 years. Representative Whitaker, I believe you are asking specifically about the gas pipeline to market permits and authorizations. For a state right-of-way, there is one in place. It's a conditional right-of-way, and the only conditional right-of-way that we hold, and that is held by Yukon Pacific for the tags line. The Foothills predecessors went through an extensive amount of the processing associated with a state right-of-way for a gas pipeline along the highway route. They did not complete that process. They did complete the federal process, and a federal right-of-way is in place, but there is not a state right-of-way for that alignment. There has been a great deal of work done in anticipation of getting to that point, but that point has not been reached yet. Did that answer the question?
Yes, it did, but just to clarify, if I might, Mr. Chairman, I think that was a yes. So, Yukon Pacific's not necessary. This piece of legislation is essentially moot. Foothills, necessary, and given that there were other applicants, necessary. Is that correct?
Representative Whitaker, through the chair, I'm not hearing everything that's coming through. It's a pretty bad connection. But what I believe the answer to the question I believe I heard is that we would probably enter into pre-application agreements with the Gas Producers Consortium, with Foothills. We would not enter into one with Yukon Pacific if at some point they choose to perfect their conditional right-of-way into a real right-of-way. I believe that would fall under a different reimbursement scheme than what's in envisioned here.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any Representative Lancaster?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to move Senate Bill 130-143 with attached 0-5 vote.
Any objection to that? Not. Move the bill from committee.
Someone owes you.
Oh, yeah. Electric was going to be something. Next, we'll go with 19, Senate Bill 19. Yes.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm Barbara Mikulas, the Director for the Child Support Enforcement Division. And I'm here to tell you a little bit about Senate Bill 19 and to answer any questions that you may have about the legislation. In 1996, Congress passed welfare reform legislation, and the specific intent of that legislation was to reduce the number of people that were receiving public assistance. They realized that being off of public assistance, that people may need additional help, that whatever salary they made might not be enough to support their families. And so they implemented various programs. One of them are the work programs that are with the Division of Public Assistance. And they also felt that they needed to enhance child support because they believed that the one-parent families that used to be on public assistance would need the help of child support. And so in the congressional legislation, they added requirements that states pass various laws to help collect child support. And Alaska passed those laws in 1996, 1997, and 1998. And as of the end of 1998, we were compliant with the federal requirements. These programs have been effective, and it can be proven that they've been effective by the differences in the child support that we've raised in the last 3 years. In FY99, we collected and disbursed $81 million in child support. In FY2000, it was 85. And this year we expect it to be about $91 million. So there really has been a dramatic increase in the amount of child support that we've collected and dispersed, primarily to families. The legislation that passed, the Alaska legislation that passed in 1997 and 1998, sunsetted this year. And so in order for us to maintain the programs that have been developed, the law has to be re-upped. And so that's the basic purpose of Senate Bill 19. Congress, when they required that the states pass this legislation, they put an extra little caveat on there, and they said that if the states did not pass the legislation, then we would be in jeopardy of losing all the money that goes to child support as well as all the money that goes to public assistance. And for Alaska, that's about a total of $70 million. So because it supports programs that have been effective and because there's the threat of losing the $70 million, it's very important to us to get this legislation through this year. When Senate Bill 19 started out, and there's a companion House bill, it was a very simple bill that sort of repealed all the sunsets. Since it's been traveling through both houses of the legislature, there's been some changes. Some of the items have been re-sunsetted. In the Senate, there was a 5-year sunset on requirements that related to Social Security numbers, sort of the giving and exchanging of Social Security numbers and applications and making those available to child support. Also, the financial data match program, which is an automated match that we'll have with financial institutions. Right now, we can get information from financial institutions, but it wasn't automated. Both of those in the Senate legislation had a 5-year sunset, and the legislation was changed in House HES to a 2-year sunset. So this has sort of been a re-sunsetting of some of the provisions of the law. There are also 2 new provisions added on. Originally, when we started the legislation, we were very careful to make sure that nothing was in the legislation that wasn't addressed by welfare reform requirements. But the 2 new provisions were added by legislators, one in the Senate and one in the House, and they were both things that we agreed with. One was that in the provisions that related to the new hire reporting program, There is a special section, and this is section 11 in the existing, in the legislation you have, that says that a violation of this subsection does not give rise to a private cause of action. And that would mean that if there was an employer that didn't do proper new hire reporting, that they couldn't be sued by a private individual. So that was one of the things not required by welfare reform that was added in the Senate. In the House, section 12 was added, and that says, and this is to take care of some problems that we agree are problems, that sometimes because of the way people are paid, they may get three payrolls in a month instead of getting two payrolls. And so what happens is that last payroll is applied to their arrears. And then for the next month, there's not enough money to pay the ongoing. So section 12 of the bill, which was added in House Hess, says if we give payments met for the next month, CSED may characterize them as having been made in the following month. So we would hold them until the next month, and they would be part of that month's ongoing support obligation. In terms of a quick run-through of the bill, it's sort of, when you look at the bill, it's kind of counterintuitive, because when you look at the beginning sections, what happens is that they remove all the languages that makes reference to Social Security numbers, but when you look at Section 17, it shows you that none of those provisions take effect until 2004. So it gets a little, 2003. It gets a little confusing, but that is what sections 1 through 10 of this bill do, and that it adds the new sunset requirements. That's also true of sections 13, 14, and 17. Section 11 is the private cause of action that I just described. Section 12 is the payments that we can characterize them in the following month. Section 15 was the original repealer that repealed all the sunset legislation. Section 16 has that all the repeals take effect immediately, with the exception in the very last, which is Section 17, and says that those that have been sunsetted come back in 2003. So I'd be glad to answer any specific questions or run through section by section, but basically that's what the legislation does. There have been some concerns. We've had discussions in both houses about the sunset. It is definitely our preference that there not be anything that sunsetted, but we worked with the Senate to make sure that people's concerns about Social Security numbers and their other concerns about the financial data match program, which is brand new, could be met. I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Representative Davies. The Social Security numbers that are referenced in those sections 1 through 10 are required by federal law at this time, is that correct?
That's true.
And what is there any reason to believe that that's going to change in the next 2 years or 5 years or something? I mean, any specific pending legislation or intent that you know about there?
There certainly have been discussions in Congress. I don't know of any pending legislation.
So, and what was the sunset date that the Senate had agreed to?
Let's see. The one that's on there is 2003, so it would be 3 years, 2006. Is that the right number?
Thank you.
Question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
That guy over there.
Yeah.
Co-Chair Mulder.
Barbara, the bill as it sits right now, the SCS, does it meet all the requirements of the federal guidelines so we don't have any funds at risk right now?
Yes, it does. If this were passed right now, we would be in compliance for the next 2 years.
And I certainly understand the concerns about the sunset. On the other hand, because we're going taking so many steps, it might be worthwhile to have a two-year look, in 2 years come back and look at it again, just because we're going a lot further than we've ever gone before. It could be.
Mr. Chairman, you ready for a motion?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Davies.
But how long have we
ready for a motion?
How long have the existing provisions with respect to the Social Security numbers been actually in place in state law?
They've been in effect for the last 3 years.
Yeah. Have there been any big problems that you know of resulting from that?
No, none have come to my attention.
Have they been effective in accomplishing the purpose of the legislation?
They've been very helpful. I also need to mention, though, that there have been concerns that people have expressed about it. So there are individuals that have problems, but I haven't heard of any cases that have been a problem.
Mr. Chairman, I would move that we go to 2006. So on the last page of the bill, on line 16, I would strike 2003 and insert 2006, and that would be consistent with what the other body sent to us.
I'll object. Object.
Mr. Chairman, real quickly, I mean, I think you've heard all the reasons why. I mean, I think that the legislation has been effective, that the use of the Social Security numbers is essential to make the connections between cases. You know, otherwise, if we don't have those in there, two things. One, we would be inconsistent with federal law. There's no, on the horizon, there doesn't seem to be any change in the federal legislation. Congress has viewed this as being efficacious as well. That's why they put that requirement in there. We actually anticipated Congress here and put it in our state law a year before they required it. The testimony is that has been effective at getting child support payments to children that are owed those payments. And so unless there's some reason that we need to take a quick look at this, I mean, we've already had 3 years, it's working. I don't see why we have to come back to this quickly. The Senate agreed to 2006 to satisfy their requirements. I say let's go to 2006 and not have to mess with this for a while.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess I would prefer coming back in a couple of years, only from the standpoint that this is one of the most contentious areas of laws we deal with, and it's not necessarily that I think the department's doing a bad job, because I think actually, Barbara, I think you know that I think you've done a very good job, and I appreciate the efforts you've gone to in trying to resolve a lot of the hot potatoes that you've been handed with this. So on the other hand, I think it's a good thing for us to come back in a couple of years just to take another look, see, and make sure that it's still being used judiciously. And I don't really see a whole lot of... No, nobody's trying to hold them hostage by any stretch of the imagination. That's certainly not my intent.
Mr. Chairman, unless the federal law changes, we won't be able to change it. So, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Objections still holds. Representative, please call the roll.
Representative Hudson.
Pass.
Representative Lancaster.
Yes.
Representative Whitaker.
No.
Representative Bundy.
No.
Representative Croft.
Pass.
Representative Davies.
Yes.
Representative Harris.
No.
Representative Mulder.
No.
Representative Williams.
No.
Representative Hudson.
No.
Representative Croft.
Yes.
2 yeas, 7 nay.
Representative Mulder.
Mr. Chairman, with that, I would move that we pass from committee House CS for Senate Bill 19 with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal note.
Any objection to the motion? Not. No. Bill move from committee. Okay. Representative Bundy?
Yes, I think we need to do HCR 10 with clinic to accompany it.
Heard the motion?
I'd move HCR 10, individual recommendation.
Any objection to the motion? Not. Move from committee. Is there anything more to come before the committee? Yeah. Representative Mulder.
Mr. Chairman, just for the notice of the members, we will be going to conference committee at 5 o'clock as opposed to 3 o'clock. And it's my understanding that we probably will just be going to the floor at 5 o'clock to finish out committee announcements and special orders. So if you want to go down and talk to a small audience, you might. But House Bill 260, I believe, will appear on tomorrow's calendar.
And Mr. Chairman?
Anything more to come before the committee? President Kraft?
Only that I thought we were pretty close to just banging out the contract one. You want to hold that for another day?
Yes.
All right. Whatever you want, Mr. Chairman.
For tomorrow, we will be hearing House Bill 255, the alcohol tax bill, I think it is. Is that what it is?
Sounds familiar.
House Bill 255?
225.
225. Alcohol tax.
Thought you had that one on your brain, Mr. Chairman.
Anything more to come before the committee stands adjourned?